This next poem comes about because of a particular occasion. One of the nice things about studying the history of art is that you get to be in close contact with the objects, as they call them. Instead of thinking of them as things in a museum or things that you read about in books, you actually get to go look at them sometimes and touch them and feel their weight. And I had the opportunity a few years ago to see a Greek statue which had just been purchased by the Getty Museum in Malibu. And unlike when you usually see Greek statues, they're standing up. This one was lying down because it had just been taken out of its wrappings and was being prepared for exhibit. The kind of statue I'm reading the poem about is called a kouros, which is just a generic term for a nude male statue. And the title of the poem is Agalma, which is an ancient Greek word which has a whole lot of meanings like delight and happiness and gift and present, and is very often associated with these objects. Agalma. Marble, pink and weathered, over a ton of it, has taken form this time in the museum storehouse as a Greek kouros. Huge warrior or athlete, perhaps god, sheathed in nakedness and a shining smile. He lies, enormous, and looks up as if in amused sufferance at being examined by the students. Wearing surgical gloves, they stroke the iliac ridge or the hillocks of the abdomen and frown over unhelpful photographs. He's in several pieces, all huge. They turn over the forearm. Where he stood, while the smile reassured, defied. Now flattened by history, this votive is oddly horizontal, with a small, neat sex jutting outward to affirm all that's animate. Now the striding left leg, marvelous holy engine of life, aims a reactive kick at the sky. He might shift on his styrofoam bed, inviting a tumble among his broken limbs. An arm, a foot, a decorative knee lie scattered around him like pillows. The basement is as silent as a dissecting theater. Here they all set their teeth against the chill and color of time gone. But this is no cadaver. The body unearthed has always been alive, just as the translucent marble whose glow was lulled into dust by layers of dumb greenery has never stopped breathing. A fly, settling on the comfortable rock lips, darts away at once, maybe sensing how easily they could curl and part. And if he does move, it will simply be out of obedience to his builder. The various pieces of him will disseminate his beauty as a candid offering called agalma, delight, as stone is blessed with shape. Laying aside a heavy text, you lean over and touch him. You've come to know each vein and bone acknowledged in the wrought surface and speak their names without thinking, like the names of your children. Handling every human lump as you must, you'll find your parts mirroring his own, and in turn, elbow and giant thumb may answer your exploring pressure. Meeting is a magnificent handshake as the great white archaic grasp, long since severed at the wrist, expands from your small worn paw. Best, while working, to close your eyes and insist on the primacy of touch, as inquisitive and abrupt as a boy's when surrounded by fragments of clamorous nudity stealing a feel in the antiquities room. Hands, your hands, are always caught by the befuddlement of sculpture, traversing neck and shoulder bit by bit like dull insects. They halt with indecision, skin or stone, chisel marks or fresh wisps of hair. Like bard and oracle, be blind. What's truly living in a living shape rises, flutters, and persuades, spelling out its message in the swell of breast and inner arm that forever moves you like marble.